Welcome to the Ferris Love Podcast, Single, Not Stalled, Pursuing Sanctity in Your Singleness. This podcast is for Catholic women who find themselves living the single life, whether it by choice, vocation, or circumstance. Here we believe that this time is not just a waiting period, but a season rich with purpose, growth, and grace. Join your hosts, Monica Hinderer and Katie Hinderer, two sisters navigating the single life from different perspectives, as we dive into conversations about faith, friendship, personal development, and finding joy in the everyday. Let's embrace this extraordinary journey together.
Morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
We are in the midst of Lent. Yay. Well, in the beginning of Lent, really. Gotta love it.
What's your joy for the week?
Ooh, okay. This was super easy to pick. Some weeks I'm like, oh, I could say this or that. But this week was super easy. So Missouri's had the most miserable January, February. Like, it's been 30 degrees colder than average the month of February across the board. And it was like,
if the Chicagoan has zero pity for you.
I know. But it was also just really gray and just like, so I just didn't spend that much time outside. And like outside for me is like, nature is just a big deal for me. So this Sunday after Mass and all of that, I with two friends went for a 15-mile hike and it was just extraordinary. We just had the best time. I mean, it was a muddy, disgusting mess. We just had a great time talking, catching up, walking the whole time. Anyway, so that's definitely my joy. Like, I was like, yes, we're in hiking season again.
I love it. I would say my joy for the week is that I finally took this leap and I leased an apartment. And this, we could probably do a whole episode on this living alone. Mm-hmm. I never thought I would be the person to live alone. I always thought that I would have roommates and then I'd be married and I'd mm-hmm. go from family to roommates to married, and that didn't happen. So it was kind of a little bit of a tough pill to swallow, but also like a very exciting new chapter that mm-hmm. I get to like kind of create my own space and have something that's like mine. And so anyways, I'm very excited for that.
Yeah, that's cool. I think too, it's true. Like when you grow up in a big family like ours, you're just never alone.
Never.
And so just even the idea of like living alone is kind of like, wait, what?
Well, and I'm like, my love language is quality time.
Yeah.
So I'm just like, I never want to be alone ever. Even growing up, it was like, mom would say, you know, go to the grocery store. And I would like grab one of the boys and be like, mom says you have to come to the grocery store with me. And they're like, you're a liar. I'm like, yeah, so
come. Come with.
Don't make me go alone.
Yeah.
So it's definitely a growth moment, but it's it's very exciting.
Yeah. And you've had other apartments with friends and stuff like that, but never like a place of just yours.
Yeah, really establishing like your own style, buying your own stuff. Like it's kind of, there's something really exciting about it. Daunting, but exciting. So let's kind of circle back to last week's takeaways, which was just kind of thinking about maybe our Lenten practice, prayer, fasting, almsgiving a little bit deeper. And so I'm curious about what that looked like for you.
So I actually, it's interesting. I like went and took it and prayed a lot about what are things, this is going to sound really silly at first, but like, what are things that I really enjoy that like I could give up for the Lord, if that makes sense. Like in kind of a lot of aspects of my life. So I really, or like, what are things that like I often reach to like for compensation or to like feel better instead of reaching to the Lord for it? And I came up with this whole list of things. Like cheese was one of them, which is very funny, but like I just love cheese. I'm like, I could be from Wisconsin. So like cheese and dairy was one thing. Obviously social media, which like for me is tricky because obviously it's my job too, but like separating out when I'm using it for business versus when I'm using it, you know, for myself, you know, things like that. I literally made a whole list on my phone of them as I was like praying about it. Even like coffee in the morning, which I drink decaf. I'm not even like need the caffeine, but like just like I liked the like soothingness of like the hot drink. Or
this is giving me like rushing woman a little bit, and like I need to be extreme with what I give up. But
no,
like,
I'm not saying I gave all this up. I'm just saying
you created a list of the things, which I actually think is like really important, because I think one of the things that does is it just brings a sense of awareness into like why I do what I do, and kind of turning me away from autopilot and towards more intentionality in my choices and my day to day. And I think that that's always a really good like reset. Like what an interesting like spring cleaning idea.
Yeah.
Like kind of cluttering this mind of like the autopilot of my, you know, mind. So that's interesting. My takeaway, I think, because I tend to push things away from me, and I tend to intellectualize things. Not about these things that I say that I hold very true to me, and I could maybe like preach or pontificate or educate on, but then like, where is the action or the follow through or the sacrifice of myself towards that end? And so I actually reached out to this Women's Pregnancy Crisis Center and was like, maybe I should like volunteer, right? Because if I'm like, abortion's wrong, like, okay, and like,
right,
what are you doing? Like, prayer is so important, right? And I'm not diminishing that at all. Like, we absolutely need to pray, but we need to pray and work. And so, you know, I was like, what can I give? I can give of my time in an area that actually like puts your money where your mouth is. Like, so that's just kind of, I was thinking more about like, what are the things that, you know, sometimes I think as Catholics, we can, or even Christians, like we can just be so like black and white sometimes, or this is right and this is wrong. And it's like, yeah. And we're called to like be with people in that mess. Like Christ was like in that mess. Like he wasn't just like on a stage, right? Like, you know, la la la, here's what's going on. He was like in it with them. So the thought project of like, okay, if I'm taking this like more seriously or like looking at this with more depth, like I need to like move into action more.
Right.
So that's my takeaway.
I love it. Yeah, it is. It's good. Lent is so, I actually really like the season of Lent because I feel like it really kind of pushes you like outside of your comfort zone. It,
well, it can,
I mean, yeah, it's true. Hopefully it can. And I think it can be really good in a lot of ways. So it's good. I'm excited about it. I'm also, okay, personally, I'm also really excited about it because this year I get to go to Rome for Easter. So I'll be there for Holy Week, like from Palm Sunday through.
It's such a wild time.
Yeah.
It is, to be in Rome during Easter is like, I didn't personally love it because I was like, it was so chaotic. I was overwhelmed. But I wonder if I go back as an adult, if I look at it differently. As a child, I was like, ah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, it's awesome. I think it's so good, but it is chaotic. And I think this year especially, like I went 2 years ago and there were a lot of people and everyone kept saying like, oh, it's because like finally like COVID travel restrictions are gone. So this is the first Easter since then. So like Rome is just full of people. But this year, it's a Jubilee year. So I think it's going to be more people because, like, obviously you want to make a pilgrimage during, you know, the Jubilee year. And then the week after Easter is Carlos Acutis's canonization in Italy. So I think it's going to be crazy. I think it's going to be so many people.
Yeah, I actually know a lot of people going. So, and I don't typically know people going to Rome. I know a lot of people just
being it's interesting. Like 2 years ago when we went, like you have to email the Vatican and ask for tickets to things.
I don't know.
And you have to do it ahead of time and all of this kind of stuff. And so last time I went 2 years ago, I emailed the Vatican office like in February, like I did this year, and just was like, hi, like I'm bringing a group. I think we were six. We'd like tickets to Palm Sunday, which everybody goes to Palm Sunday. So like you don't even necessarily need tickets, but Palm Sunday. But then I was like, we also want tickets to Holy Thursday Mass, the Good Friday service, and the Saturday Easter Vigil. And all three of those are in St. Peter's. Like in the basilica.
I know.
Not in the arms, but in the actual basilica with the Pope. And we got the Good Friday service and the Easter Vigil. In St. Peter's, which was amazing. So this year I was like, I'm doing the same. And like, we're the same. We're a group of six this year. And we didn't get any tickets.
No.
Nothing inside of St. Peter's. We got like, they told us we could have Palm Sunday and Easter Sunday, which is great. But such a bummer. I was like, oh, because it was just such a beautiful experience to be inside there. Because it feels more intimate, even though you're there with like, I don't even know how many it fits, 10,000 people or whatever. Like, but still.
Yeah. What an exciting time. Okay, let's start again. Katie, you were the inspiration for this episode today. So why don't you kick it off?
So I saw this reel this week that, and I wish I could find it, but I couldn't find it really fast because of course I didn't save it. Dumb. Anyway, I think it's because I didn't, like I liked it at the time, but I didn't think it was going to have such an impact on me. And then later that day in my prayer, I was praying about it and I was like, oh dang. And it was, I think it was like probably part of a homily from some Christian pastor or whatever. And the background was just like photos of whatever, like pastoral scenes. Anyway, but he was saying, if God came to you today and said, you know, good job, Monica, everything you prayed for this last week is now yours, what would you actually have? Like, what would actually happen? And I thought, oh, this is such an interesting idea, because I think often we think of whatever, people we love who we wish would come back to the church, or people who are in difficult relationships, or I don't know, things that we need or things that we want. But are we actually praying for them? Like, are we actually asking our Lord for them with consistency? Because I think often you'll, like, for instance, I have, like, a really good friend of mine, or who was a really good friend of mine, who just stopped talking to me, like, during COVID. And, like, I think about her a lot. And this made me think, like, but am I still praying for her? And, like, the reconciliation of our relationship, or at least some kind of, like, understanding, you know, that kind of a thing. And I was like, I'm not. But, like, she's still on my mind a lot. Anyway, so I thought this was just a really interesting idea of, like, if our Lord really gave you all the things you prayed for this week, what did you really pray for? Like, did you ask for world peace? Did you ask for, I don't know, the Pope is really sick. Like, did you ask for the health of the Pope? Did you, you know, like, these things? Or are you like, well, he knows. Like, he knows what I want. So, like, do I really need to ask?
Yeah, it's making me think of, I was recently at a conference where we were diving into advanced Thomistic psychology, and the priest at one point basically was like, people don't pray and fast enough. Like, they don't offer sacrifice to their prayer. And, like, you wonder why you don't get things. Like, and it's tricky because there's this balance. And I think this is the hard part, right, that really resonates with a lot of people, is that to pray without ceasing, but to be abandoned to God's will, is one of the hardest things I think we're ever going to do, right? Mm-hmm. Like, we have to be as demanding as that woman who was persistent with the judge, and, like, for fear of his life or just annoyance, he was like, good grief, give her what she wants. Like, yeah. I don't want to deal with her anymore. Yeah. She's obnoxious. And then at the same time, it's like, abandon and let go, and God's will is best. And so, like, you don't always get what you want because it's not what's best for you, and you don't see it here and now, but one day you'll understand, and so forth. And so it's easier for us to live in very extremes, right? Mm-hmm. Where I'm obsessed with praying about something because I want it, or I'm discouraged, mm-hmm. and I let go. And I'm like, whatever.
We grow weary. We're like, is this, like, maybe God's never going to answer this, you know? Mm-hmm. Maybe this will never happen. So, like, okay, I guess it's just, his answer's always no. And his answer might be pray more.
It hurts to keep asking.
Yeah.
And I think that's just a very real, like, human experience. Like, sometimes I relate everything to relationships. I think everything in this life is relational. Mm-hmm. Relationship with myself, relationship with other, relationship with God. And so I think when you look at it from that perspective, like, I think it makes my relationship with God and with religion profoundly beautiful and very different, mm-hmm. than maybe other people's kind of rule-based or whatever. I'm, like, looking at this as, like, relationship. It also makes it really hard, because if I was in any other relationship where I had to beg this much for you to do something for me or to show up in the way that I needed you to, I would be so discouraged in that relationship. I'd be like, you're not listening, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think that people go into this relationship with God with that human lens, and there's a challenge to, like, expand our mind here into a more divine setting, in that he's not ignoring you. He hears the cry of his people. He hears you. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna be like, wait, what? That actually got lost in the shuffle. Who are you? Like, no.
Right.
He knows you, loves you infinitely. He knows the cries of his people. And, like, and we have to trust that even when we don't see it in front of us.
Well, and I think too, like, I think we talked about this during the Valentine's episode, but I think related to that too is, I think we often are like, okay, if God really loved me, he would answer this prayer, and not look at all the ways in which he's shown us his love. You know, so to your relationship idea, you're like, yeah, if I was in a relationship and I had to keep asking a million times, well, yeah, and God's in a relationship where he keeps giving to us and pouring out to us, and we're like, but I wanted something else. Right? Like, in a relationship, if some, you know, someone gives you this beautiful gift and you're like, well, I didn't want that. Yeah. I wanted something else. I wanted something better, or something that I thought was going to be better for me. And our Lord's like, but I'm giving you the very best. And, like, and I gave you all of me. Right. Which I think, yeah, is a really interesting thing to consider. Right. But it's true. Like, often where they're like, so
yeah,
are you giving me this?
Yeah. And I think that's making me think of, oh gosh, just so many things. But one time in high school, I was having an issue with a friend. And I just remember his mom was making dinner, and I was sitting on the counter talking to her about this. And she looked at me and she said, you know, Monica, at some point you have to learn to accept the love someone knows how to give, right? That you can't demand a friend loves you in the way you want to be loved. And there's a balance there. There's a trickiness, right? Because I'm not saying that you, if you have particular needs and you're in relationship with someone and those are continuously going unmet and they cannot show up for you, I'm not saying stay.
Right.
But can I be considerate enough that sometimes people express love? This is kind of the love languages idea, that people mm-hmm. express love in different ways. And can I be kind of attuned to that? And so I think if we notice ourselves growing weary. And I think this is the beautiful part about Lent, is that it's showing up in a time of the season for us to like tune back into how much God loves us.
Mm-hmm.
That he died for us, that he said, you can't escape suffering, and I'm not going to take that from you because this is how the world played out, right? Like through choices and da-da-da. But I'll go there with you. And like how mm-hmm. much more loving is that, right? Like how much better is it when a friend just climbs into that dark place with you and says mm-hmm. like, I'm right here. You know what? Me too. I didn't deserve these things. I didn't get what I wanted. I didn't get this cup taken from me. And I see you. I know you. I understand you.
That's interesting. So it's making me think, our dad just came out with a book on suffering in marriage, and he and I were like workshopping a lot of it together. And one of the things that we kind of not necessarily discovered for the first time, but like really kind of fell deeply into is this idea that like, okay, on earth, who did Jesus probably love the most?
Mary.
And I would argue Mary. I would argue his mother, right? He loved her a lot. And he's God, right? So like he could have made it so she never suffered. I mean, he didn't give her original sin, right? So probably no pain in childbirth. Right? Work was not hard for her. You know, she never struggled to not gossip, right? Like those kinds of things. And yet she suffered a lot, right? Like, and at his, you know, at his presentation, Simeon is like, you know, a sword will pierce you. Like you are going to suffer. And like, he didn't not give his mom suffering, even though he didn't give her a lot of other things because she was his mother. Yeah. And so I think that's a beautiful thing to consider, that like he loves his mom and knew that even his mom's suffering was going to be part of the redemption. In the same way that our suffering often, I mean, if we give it to our Lord, is part of that redemption, right? And we can use that. And it's not him being like, if he's asking us to suffer or if he's asking us to ask longer for this thing that's really painful, he's not saying, oh, I don't love you. In fact, he's saying, I do love you a lot. And suffering, again, like Lent, suffering purifies. Right? Like, I love you so much, I need you to suffer a little bit in this in order for you to be purified, in order for this thing to come to fruition, in order whatever, right?
Yeah, I think it's funny. I was talking to an exorcist recently and, you know, whatever, this is not dogma or doctrine, so take it for what you will. But anyways, all these fallen angels were all created. Everyone was created with a specific intent and purpose, even the angels. Like they had this exact intention. And when they fell, the antithesis became their mission. So if you were meant to bring light, you bring darkness, like right mm-hmm. this idea. So he encountered this one that his entire design, his entire mission was simply to accompany Mary on the Passion. That was mm-hmm. it. That was his design, to be there with her, because God knew she needed it. She could, like, to do this alone would be like impossible. And so this priest asks this devil, demon, whatever. Like, well, if you didn't do that.
Yeah, who accompanied her?
Who did? Like, she's just like left to the wolves. Like, who accompanied her? And he said, God gave her grace directly and went with her. And I was like, my gosh. I mean, who knows? Maybe demons lie. I mean, they do.
They do lie.
Who knows how accurate that story is? But I think what is really true about that, and what is so beautiful, is that God doesn't leave us and we have to be willing to stay. And it reminds me of, I think it's, let me pull it up, but it's Matthew 6:28-33. And it's this whole idea of, you know, look at how the lilies in the field grow and they don't work or make clothes themselves. But like, you know, Solomon and his riches, and he's dressed beautifully. And like, if God clothes the grass in the fields, like, are you not much more precious to him? Like, if he takes care of everything, are you not? And I think sometimes, and I love, this is one of my favorite passages that I think I hold on to a lot, because I think it's so easy for us to get discouraged and say, he doesn't care. He's right. not showing up. I'm not getting the things I need. Like the number of people in therapy that I accompany who wrestle with, where is he?
Mm-hmm.
I cannot do this anymore. Like, it's so heavy. I'm so lost. Like, I've been begging. And that discouragement is so real. And so mm-hmm. sometimes we need to put reminders in our life that, like, sure. he hasn't left us. Maybe he's asleep in the boat. And we're like, hey, man, you want to wake up? Like,
I'm here.
We're capsizing, like, any day now. But that he's there with you.
Right. Yeah. And I think, too, that, like, also realizing, like, he's there with you, and if he wasn't, you honestly would not be able to handle that burden. Like, you would not be alive, you would not be living, you would not, you know, whatever. And so even when it feels like he's not there, like, he absolutely is. He's there with you. I think too, to this idea of, like, you know, circling back to this reel that I saw about like, what are we praying for? And are we really doing that? To remember too, that, you know, our Lord, like sometimes we stop asking, or maybe we don't even ask. We're just like, well, God knows, like, God knows I want whatever, right? Like I need a new job, right? And like, God knows I'm applying to jobs. Like, so he knows I need it. And I'm not going to ask him for a new job because like, he knows I need it. Whatever. He knows everything. It's true. But if you look at the miracles that take place in the gospel passages, none of them take place except maybe the woman touching the hem of Christ's garment. But none of them take place without asking our Lord, right? And you think of it.
That one, the touching the garment, and my absolute favorite, the paralyzed man whose friends demolish.
His friends ask for him. Roof. But his friends pray for him.
Ask for him, right? Like there is this idea. And I love that one because it's like, I think for a lot of people who worry about others in their life, you can do enough to get them there.
Yeah.
But that's another topic.
But I think that's really interesting because you think of the passages or even like, you know, when the lepers approach, right? And they have leprosy. It's clear what they need, right? And our Lord says to them, what do you want?
Or the blind man.
Yeah. What do you want? Bartimaeus, what do you want? And he's like, see?
Yeah.
And our Lord's like, okay.
You have to ask for it.
You have to ask. Like, you have to tell him what you want. And you have to ask for it with a lot of faith, right? And even the woman who touches the garment, which is one of my favorite stories in the gospel, while she didn't outright speak to our Lord face to face, she in her heart was like, I know this man is so good and so loving that if I but touch, you know, the hem of his garment, I will be made clean. Because I know I can ask this for him and I know he'll do it, right? So it still is a form of asking. And so I think we have to make sure we're actually asking in the first place and then not lose hope or grow weary with the asking.
This reminds me of, I was listening to a meditation and I was just trying to pull it up because I don't know exactly who it is. Tolkien. It's Tolkien. And his daughter writes him a letter basically being like, hey dad, I need some money. And she just asks for exactly what the amount she needed. Like, I need like $10. And he writes her back and he says, I should have given you more if you had asked. And it's really beautiful. And people can kind of like look this up, but it's this really beautiful thing where he was like, I love you so much. I would have if you had been bold enough and brave enough to ask for abundance, mm-hmm. I would have given it to you without a second thought. And I'm going to give you what you asked for. So here's $10. I'm going to give you what you ask for. And so sometimes I think, like, are we bold enough in what we're asking? If he loves us so much and wants to give us everything, like, are we actually bold enough for saying, like, this is what I want? And how bad do you want it? Like, how much are you willing to pray, sacrifice, and commit? And I think one of the hardest parts, and Katie, this will resonate with you, is consistency. Mm-hmm. Where it's like, but I prayed for like a week.
Right.
And then like life got a little busy and that got a little tricky and da 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 da. So I stopped. And it's like, well, how consistently and persistently am I making big requests?
Yeah, it is interesting. I think, you know, a lot of people are like, how come we're not seeing miracles like we used to see back in the day, right? And like the apostles were doing and all that kind of stuff. And I sometimes wonder if it's like our prayer is just too small, right? Like our prayer and our fasting is just too small. I was seeing another interview with a priest and he was saying that, you know, in the church now, we don't fast anymore. Like in the Catholic Church, we're asked to fast 2 days now. Whereas like back in the day, people fasted a lot because they knew how much it helped you connect with our Lord, right? Connect with God, right? Sacrifice yourself. And like, anyway, that was making me think like, is that partly why, not that we have to do more to get God's grace, like that kind of a thing, but like to a certain extent, like how much are we pouring in?
Yeah. Well, like anything is kind of worth sacrifice. It's funny because I think when met with a lot of criticism about the way the church approaches certain things like fasting or mortifications, as an athlete, I just sort of chuckle because I'm like, any elite athlete does far worse to their body in the pursuit of something far less great. Like the amount they sacrifice, the amount that they put themselves through like freaking cold baths to recover, like, and that's not in the name of God. That's in the name of like, you know, a trophy. And so we are profoundly capable of doing this as human beings. And so why would we not do it for a greater good? Just because I don't have a tangible thing in front of me doesn't mean that the prayers and works that I do are fruitless. And so I think that we just have to be specific and bold with like what we are asking for and consistent and, mm-hmm. and couple it with a sacrifice. And you're right. Like right now I'm praying for something and I'm fasting from social media.
Mm-hmm.
And every time, and it's so habitual and I haven't deleted it off my phone intentionally. And every time I freaking open that app, I'm like, oh shoot. And I like, you know, and then I like, yeah. And then I say a little prayer. I say an aspiration and it's mm-hmm. like, I probably was not praying that much throughout the day before for this particular intention because it wasn't always, there was nothing in my day to day that caused the pinch to make me think of it.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, so I think that like, yeah, to some degree, it's kind of like, how bad do you want it?
Yeah. No, it's true. I think too, you know, to your earlier point about like asking our Lord for big things, I think that's also something that we don't do enough sometimes. We're like, okay, well, I'll ask for like little small things or whatever. But I remember once a priest told me, it was like right before I was going to solemn exposition, like benediction, solemn exposition. And I had gone in for confession, I think right before it or whatever. And then right as I was leaving, he was like, Katie, when I lift our Lord in the monstrance and bless you, ask for really big things. And he was like, and always do that. Like always ask for really big things in that moment because there's a lot of grace. And I was like, I don't even know what I was asking for previously to that, but I was like, okay.
Anything. I think I was like bowing my head being like,
yeah, like I think sometimes we're like, oh, our Lord, like whatever. And I was like, yeah, but like, but in the real, right, it is our Lord. This is sometimes I like to visualize, but like I like to visualize our Lord in his like human form sitting on the altar with his legs like kicking back and forth.
Oh, hilarious. He's crossing.
Like, just like, yeah. What do you want to tell me? Like, what are you? And so for benediction, right, like it is our Lord there giving us the blessing of the cross, like the priest gives or whatever, but like that's huge. And yep. When you do that, like you ask for stuff, right? So I always think of that when I go to benediction.
Nice.
But then also, a couple of years afterwards, I realized like, wait, I should also be asking for really big things during the consecration of both the bread and the wine. And so those are the three moments. Well, mass every day. So those two moments are like, I'm like, Lord, I'm asking for really big kind of crazy things. Like I'm asking for like one of the things that I pray for every day at mass, like during the consecration is the fidelity of all of my family members to their vocation. Like whatever it is, right? Like we've got a brother who's going to be a priest, right? Like we have married, we have single, you know, whatever. And that, like, I ask for that every day. And I'm like, that's huge, right? Like all my family members. I'm not just saying like, I just want like my immediate little family. I'm like, I want all of them. I want my cousin who just got married in October. I want, you know, like all of them to be faithful to their vocation till the end, right? Like that's, and like, that's a big ask, but I think we need to ask these things. And then like St. Paul tells us, start giving thanksgiving because you know God is going to give it to you.
Yeah. Ugh, true.
You know?
True. But, and also I think that thanksgiving keeps you in a positive mindset instead of focusing on like, I don't have it yet. We're operating as if we do in that confidence and faith in the child as a child of a loving parent. It's interesting as you were describing that, the scene that came to mind is like, yeah, like, okay, so like Christ is extremely present and everyone's there praying, but it's like, can you be so bold as to be that woman who touches his clothes? Like, right? Like the audacity of that woman to be like, don't mind me, I'm just going to scoot in here. Like, that's it, right? And that is like so bold, right? So bold. Or like some of these people, like I wonder about the people who didn't get healing because they just were too afraid to ask. Like the woman who was like, Lord, please, like even the dogs get scraps, like give me scraps. And he's like, all right, done, right? Or the person who wasn't even of the faith, the centurion, right? Who was like, don't even come to my house, dude. You're super powerful. Just say the word. Say the word. I'll be gone. And he's like, yeah, I'm not in your faith. I'm not really following you, but I know what I know. And I know that you have the power to do this. So do it.
Right. Yeah.
And like, man, could we be so bold?
Right. Exactly. I think it's really, really interesting. And I think too, like thinking of even your namesake, Monica, like
just
the classic example of like endless prayer.
That chick was persistent.
But that she saw going nowhere, right? That she was like time after time, she was probably like, Lord, my son, he has another child, like whatever, right? Like all these things. And then look, like the prayers of this mother gave us St. Augustine.
Well, and her husband.
Well,
like
yeah.
That non-Catholic abusive piece of work convert. Because she was consistent. And like, I think, yeah, I mean, geez, I think the takeaway today is really like that very bold prayer, very consistently with some sacrifice on our part. Like, what is that? What can I mortify myself in this way, in this pursuit of what I want? And it's not, and to be careful that we're not viewing this as like God's a vending machine. And if I put in the exact correct amount of change, I'll get what I want. Right. But that like, that faithfulness of a young child, knowing that like, my dad gives me good things. If I just ask, if I'm bold enough to ask for abundance, he will give me abundance.
Right. And I think it goes back to your idea of like relational, right? Like you ask people who you have a relationship with for things. You don't ask strangers for things unless you're paying them, right? And so when we are constantly building up this relationship with our Lord and looking at him more and going to him more as a friend, as a brother, as whatever, right? That is powerful. That means something, right? And we want to build that relational aspect of our life with him.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I think I kind of want to, I mean, I'm going to take this away. We don't have to, I guess, make it a thing. But I like what you said earlier and kind of reflecting on like, if I actually got what I prayed for, what would I have? Mm-hmm. What would I have? And I kind of want to, geez, I think I'm going to take that to my prayer and like really like look at like, what are the things that I really want to be asking for and showing up for? And what am I praying for? What do I need to be praying for? What have I stopped praying for? And, I'll let you know how that goes.
Yeah, I think that's a good one. I think that's a perfect one because it's true. Like it really, you know, having seen that, it really struck me and I had taken it to my prayer a couple times because I was just like, it's true. Like, you know, there are things that I used to pray for that I was like, well, it seems kind of big or that seems kind of dumb to pray for. So like maybe it's like too small, you know, and why? Why do we have to decide? Actually, it's interesting. On this reel, someone then commented and was like, oh my gosh, like, you know, in the reel itself, it was like, you probably would have gotten a parking space. You probably would have gotten like whatever, right? You would have hit a couple more green lights when you were running late, like those kinds of things, which is true, right? We often do this. And then someone commented and was like, that's absolutely ridiculous if you're praying for that. Like, what a waste of God's time and yours for parking spaces and green lights and whatnot. And I...
Please.
And I was like, well, it's not like God is like a limited being that he can't give you green lights and world
peace. Resources. How dare you?
But the thing that I thought was interesting, and I was like, and well, she was like, you Catholics, right? But I think it was interesting because I thought like sometimes those smaller things, like I need a parking space or green lights or whatever, help me find this thing, right? Is a way of building up that relationship so that, you know, for bigger things, you can go to him more or you're like more aware. It's building that presence of God, you know, your life.
If you were in a relationship with someone and you were like, hey, can you save a spot for me? Like, if you see a spot, go stand in it. Wouldn't they? Like, it's a small thing. Yeah. Would they do it because they love you? Yes. And I show love in small and big ways, but it's true. You know, it's really funny. Our grandma passed away in like 2010, 2011-ish. And every single time I park illegally, I pray to her. If I pray to her when I park illegally and I'm like, grandma, I can't get a ticket today. I need you to just keep an eye on this. I never, ever get a ticket. I am telling you, never. This woman does not fail.
Okay, I love this because
don't pray to her.
Yeah.
Ticket every time. Every time. And she's like, you're not thinking of me and you're not asking.
Oh my gosh. So I love this because like the story of our grandma, right? She was Catholic. She left the church to marry my grandpa. She was out of the church the entire time they were married. He passed away. By then she had dementia. And they moved her into a Lutheran nursing home. And she moved into the Lutheran nursing home. And the first thing she told the staff was, I'm Catholic. And everybody was like, wait, what? We thought you were Lutheran. Anyway, so she converted kind of like, not on her deathbed, but like in the last several months of her life. Reverted, I guess. But it's interesting because when we were at her wake, the priest who came to say a few prayers or whatever told us to look for signs and not in a like, okay, not in a superstitious way, right? But to like, look for signs that we would know that she was in a good place, right? Because like she lived a long time away from the church. And we were like, okay, like what signs to look for, right? And so that night, a lot of our cousins were over at my parents' house because they were the closest to the funeral home and whatnot. And so they spent the night. Like we had cousins like all of our couches and whatnot. But we lived in the city that you weren't allowed to park on the street at night unless you'd called the police ahead of time and told them which cars and blah, 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 blah. Okay, but we were so many and it was a distressing day. So no one called and there were a lot of cars, like a lot of cars. And never before had a car been parked out front that had not gotten a ticket. And that day, none of the cars got tickets, like that night. So after that, we were like, that's the sign. Like she, you know, she's at least in purgatory. Like this is great, right? Like whatever. So I love
Homegirl is a patron saint of parking tickets, so I'm going to hit her up when I need a little, you know. I literally lock the car. As I'm walking away, I'm like, Grandma, take it from here, girl. Yeah, anyway.
I love it. Okay, good. So I think this is great. Hopefully people can take a lot away from this. Think of those things that you're not asking for that you could be, you know, consider. Hopefully this reel or this idea, the idea of this reel struck you as much. I'll try and share it actually on our Instagram. Maybe I'll try and pin it to our highlights if I can find it again so people can check it out, because I think it was really powerful for me and hopefully it is for you. So that's it for this week of Single Not Stalled. We hope this episode gave you new insights and a renewed sense of purpose in your daily life. Wherever you are in your journey, remember that God is with you, and this season is filled with opportunities to grow, flourish, and make an impact. If you're loving the podcast, please take a moment to rate and review it. It helps more women like you find the community, and don't forget to subscribe so you never miss an episode. Join us on social media at Single Not Stalled on Instagram, or you can email us if you have a question or you want us to cover a specific topic at singlenotstalled@gmail.com. That's hilarious. We'd love to hear your thoughts and ideas. Until next time, keep living fully and walking boldly.